Anchorage, can you hear me? Who's all in your office?
Yeah, Mayor Schreck, we have myself, Annie, we have Glenora, Ernie, Charlotte, Bailey, George Barker, Vicky, Freshta, then Sam McNeely, and then Talia.
Okay.
Can you make the pictures bigger?
Akatan.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. It's just myself here.
Okay, thank you. And Sandpoint, it's Beverly, Jim, Paul, Alvin. Falls Pass.
Nicole and Tom.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon. Cold Bay. And then King Cole. Are we going to put King Cole on the phone?
Yeah, I think that's better.
So.
Let me just email Jeff here real quick.
Okay, Bria, hang on. Beverly's going to send a message to Jackie, and maybe they'll have to participate by phone. There seems to be some wrong with their system.
It looks like they left this.
Yeah, isn't there some news about somebody drinking out of a lead painted cup?
No, that's not Yeti. It's Stanley.
The popular, yeah.
The one that got really popular?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Founders Lead.
Well, I don't know what's going on with this blank airspace. It's supposed to be a borough meeting. Maybe we lost them. I don't know. Definitely having some problems over
all right.
Folks.
Yeah. It looks like King Cove's on, correct? Yeah, I can hear you on.
Yep, you are there.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Okay, sounds good.
So, in the King, who's all at the King Cove office?
There's myself, Stuart Brandel, Brenda, and Chris.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I need a motion to adopt the agenda.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Second by who?
Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Are there any
motion to amend the agenda to add one item? I move to item under discussion, the Peter Pan fire. As a discussion item number, I don't know, right after the resolutions, perhaps. Your choice. There's some new information I just got today, that's all. not life or death.
Well, I would prefer if since we don't, we're trying not to add to the agenda. If we want to do it under, you want to do it under assembly comments?
Well, it's important for everybody. I'd rather have an agenda item because it wouldn't take very long, I don't believe. But
yeah, but I don't think, well.
That's all I'm requesting. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, if we're going to do it that way, I hate doing it that way, but I'll put it under new business.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody see any corrections or anything to the agenda? Okay, so if there's no objections, I'll let the agenda stand with a Peter Pan update under item 14. Okay. Are there any public comments at this time on agenda items? Does anyone feel like they may have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? Okay, so we're down to, we have a audit presentation by BDO, and Annie, since you have them with you there in the Anchorage office, you want to go ahead and take this one?
Yes, of course. So with us are George and Vicky with BDO. They're going to be doing the presentation that we have here. You should have this, and also the audit has been sent out as well. So I'll just go ahead and pass it off to the two gentlemen. Go ahead.
Right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Vicky Shrestha, and this is George Barker. We are here to present the financial statements. First of all, I just like by start by thanking everybody at the borough. I mean, as we actually were able to print the financial statement as of yesterday's date. So this is like the earliest the financial statements has been printed, and there's lots of improvements already. Like we've reduced the number of findings, have reduced quite a bit from when we first started and even from last year. So first of all, like I said, I'd just like to congratulate the city and thank everybody at the city for providing all the information that was needed to complete the audit timely. And then for this year, George is actually going to do the presentation, and then I can chime in if necessary. And if you have any questions at the end of the presentation, you can let us know. On that note, the audit, the draft that you have was at that time, it was still a draft, but like I said, it was printed yesterday. And then the wrap-up document does have some dates that we'll have to update and resend you once it's all said and done. But the actual matters that are presented there doesn't change.
All right. Well, Mayor Osterbeck and assembly members, thank you for having us here to present the audit today. We're going to begin on the audit wrap-up document. We'll start with the welcome page there, I think page 3. So this is just our address to you. So in kind of outlining the purpose of this document. So within this, we're going to just kind of do a high-level overview of the audit and the results of our audit. We'll touch on findings and a few other matters. Throughout the presentation, or maybe at the end of the presentation, we'll have some time for question and answer. So if, as we're going, if there's anything that anybody would like clarification on, please let us know at the end, and we can address those comments at that time. Moving on to the next page, the status of our audit. So like Vicky just said, we actually have completed the audit at this point. Opinion dated yesterday, so that is actually done. I know it says substantially completed there at the top, but we are done at this point and have released our report as of February 7th. I'm just going to breeze through these points pretty quickly, but the one that I want to emphasize there at the top, our audit is, the purpose of it is to obtain reasonable, not absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free of material misstatements. So that's just one thing we like to emphasize. We are doing we're reviewing the financial data, but not providing absolute assurance on that. Cruising through the next couple points, the scope of our work didn't change at all. And then at this point, we have issued unmodified opinions on the financial statements and also on the state and federal single audits. And then
just to clear up, unmodified opinion in this sense is a clean opinion. There's no issues with it.
Yep. So I think as far as this page goes, those are the things I wanted to highlight. Although I will just point out the second to last point there, we didn't have any issues obtaining any information. And then the last point, management's cooperation was excellent as always. So moving on to the next page, the results of our audit. There is within the statements, there's a summary of there's a summary of the borough's accounting policies as found in note one. There weren't any substantial changes to that this year, although the borough did technically adopt GASB statement number 96, which has to do with subscription-based IT arrangements. However, after performing a review, the borough concluded that there were no agreements that were in scope, and so that didn't present a substantial change this year. There were no other significant changes to accounting policies during FY23. And then over here on the right side of the slide, we do have a summary of the significant estimates for the borough. One that's new this year, I think it didn't make it in last year, is just the discount rate related to leases that relates to the GASB 87, which was adopted in FY22, actually. And then the other two there aren't new, the net pension and OPEB liabilities. Those are estimates based on information provided by the state of Alaska. All right, and then we will move on to the next page. Actually, we're going to go a couple pages here to the results of our audit, page 8. So attached to this document, there's a schedule of adjusting journal entries that were posted during the audit. If you have any questions about those, please let us know. I don't think there was one minor adjustment to terminal fixed assets to post a couple Yamaha motors that I think were there. And then our usual annual entry that we assist the borough with to post the GASB 87 and 75, or excuse me, GASB 68 and 75 entries, which have to do with pension and OPEB. That's an annual adjustment that we assist the borough with. So there's nothing too unexpected there. And then there's one other adjustment related to recognizing some PERS pension expense. There were no uncorrected misstatements other than those that were clearly trivial that we identified or related to any accounts or disclosures that were presented to management. Move on next to our internal control over financial reporting. So the first page here outlines the definitions of the different kinds of findings we would recognize, going from the lowest magnitude to the highest magnitude there. I think one thing that's worth pointing out this year is that there were no material weaknesses. That's an improvement over prior years. And so that's something to note there. And then if you move on to the next page, we did identify two significant deficiencies this year. There was one over, and these are both repeat findings from last year. However, the first one there and second, we do expect these to likely be remediated next year. The first one, you'll note, is, like I said, it's a repeat from last year, but the borough has already taken steps to, during FY23, took steps to remediate this finding. So as of the year end, it is remediated and shouldn't be a finding next year. We did communicate some control deficiencies to management. These are items that are not listed here, but are just amount to best practice recommendations that we make for things that they could do throughout the audit. And then we'll move on to additional communications. I'm not going to touch on too many of these. There's a few there that you can read through. I think the main points are that there were no outside consultations. There were no significant changes to our audit strategy. And then some of the other things we've communicated already, we didn't have any difficulty obtaining information and didn't have any difficulty in our communication with management or any disagreements with management. And I think that should wrap up. I guess the one final page that I think I'd like to touch on is page 17. And this has to do with independence. This just reiterates and makes reference to our engagement letter from March 23 at the beginning of the audit that outlines our independence requirements and the responsibilities of management and us as your auditors. If you have any questions about those items, we can address those as well. But I think with that, we can move on to the statements. And we're going to start with, we're going to skip all the way to page 6. And this is a statement of net position. PDF page 6.
Sorry.
Sorry. Or the actual document, page 6. There we go. Okay, so I'm just going to go down and kind of point out some highlights here. At the end of the year, the borough had in governmental activities $155,685,812 of total assets and deferred outflows. The bulk of this is between three line items, but kind of two groups of assets. The first being cash and investments of $80 million, and then the second being capital assets. Some of that's CIP and land, and then the rest that's actually in service and being depreciated. And that was around $68 million there. In the liabilities section, you'll notice there's $22 million in liabilities at the end of the year. The substantial portion of that balance is in bonds payable. When you aggregate those together, the current portion and long-term portion, that's about $14.5 million in bonds payable out of that $22 million balance. And then the only thing I'll maybe note too, as well as you have deferred outflows, that represents the large portion of that balance is related to leases, and that represents future lease payments on lease receivables. In the business type activities, total assets were $7 million at the end of the year, of which almost $6 million is held in capital assets. And then for liabilities, there's really not much in the enterprise funds other than accounts payable and then some leases payable, which I believe is mostly for the airport terminal facility. Moving on, we're going to skip over the A2 statement and go to Schedule B1, which is the governmental balance sheet. So this further breaks out at the fund level the governmental balances. Starting with the general fund and the permanent fund, you'll notice that of the $91 million in total assets on this statement, most of that is held between the general fund and permanent fund in cash and investments, with $45 million in permanent fund and $30 million in the general fund. The other thing that's worth pointing out here is that there are restricted bond proceeds in the bond construction capital projects fund that make up about $3 million of that balance as well. Total liabilities for governmental activities was $10 million $699,000. And of this, a little over a third actually is due to the payable to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is an ongoing balance. I think that's been there for a while now. So there's hasn't been a change to that balance, and that is a big portion of that liability balance. The other portion of this balance that I'll point out is the due to other funds. This just represents resources that are exchanged between funds throughout the year. And you'll notice up in the trust permanent fund, there's a line due from, and that you'll notice that ties to that due to other funds balance. So this just represents resources that are being allocated between those three funds. Make it into this draft. So I
Yeah, we have a technical issues again. So I'll play a little bit of Guess Who until something happens to get us back to our meeting.
Get up in the morning, get on the bus. Get up in the morning like the rest of us. Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus rider. Leave the house at 6 o'clock to be on time. Wife and kids at home to make a dime. Grab your lunch pail, check for mail in your slot. You won't get your check if you don't punch the clock. Bus rider. A toupee cause you're losing your hair. Doesn't matter what you do, you've nothing to lose. I'm so awful goddamn glad I'm not in your shoes. Bus rider.
That's all right, I'm cool now.
Assembly is having some technical difficulties. It looks like their Microsoft Teams meeting booted us off. We tried to dial in. We'll keep trying. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, so, okay, I see everybody's on there, but they just went, shook their, they cut off their video. Okay, so, other questions on the audit? Hearing none. And you guys can still hear us, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, if there's no other questions, really appreciate it. Good job. And again, I know a lot of thanks goes out to Jackie and her staff there and Annie. So, okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We are going to go back to our regular agenda. So I need a motion to bring the minutes of January 11th.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. So everybody's had a chance to look over the minutes. Anybody see any need for corrections?
Yes. Can I point out something?
Go ahead.
I would like to point out that I have two minor clerical. I forgot to add Julian Manos as one of the attendees last meeting, and also Charlotte. I forgot to change Charlotte's title to finance analyst on that first portion of the minutes.
Okay.
Other than that, I think.
So, for the, I don't know if we need a motion to correct that, or you should be able to just tweak it and put it in there,
yeah,
right?
Before printing it.
Unless anybody has a problem with it. Okay. So, with Beverly's corrections that she made that she'll put in the final minutes, if there's no other comments on it, I'll go ahead and let the minutes stand with the correction unless there's objections.
Paul? Mr. Mayor, just going back one topic, if we're done with this one. Did we ever need an audit to accept the, a motion to accept the audit? Did we ever do that? I thought we did in the past, but maybe we don't anymore. I don't know. I forget.
Well, Annie, do we need a motion for the draft, or do we wait for the final?
At Mayor Ashbeck Assembly at this time, no, you don't need to approve anything at this time. This was just the presentation, and we'll come back later with the audit.
Okay, thank you.
And that Annie's microphone is a little garbled to me, maybe.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Fine, maybe it's just me. Thanks.
Okay. So we're down to financials. We need a motion to bring the December financials to the floor.
No, make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second that, Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, sir, back in assembly, in the packet is the December 2023 financials. This is 6 months into the FY24 fiscal year. Just a few things to highlight. First is on the very first page under R01201 interest revenue. Because of how we have started to invest our monies, we have made $771,000 in interest revenue this year, which is fantastic. So our mechanism of how we are doing our investments is working, and we continue to hope to see that grow through this fiscal year. So that's great news. On the other side, if you look at R01218, the AB raw fish tax, we did receive $26,593 in fish tax in December, which is really, really, really low. This is about 13.6% of the 10-year average or 12.2% of the 5-year average for typical December revenues. So hopefully that will increase in the next couple of months. Other than that, everything else is tracking along as it should. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions on the finances? Paul?
Yeah, just one quick one on shared revenue, shared fish tax revenues. With King Cove shut down now, is that going to affect that item?
So the shared fish tax revenues is based off the prior fiscal year's tax revenues. So it won't impact it this year, but next year, yes, I believe the revenues will be less.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, question on the motion?
Brenda? Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have the investment report. We're due through December. It's in your packet for your review. So, we have one public hearing on Ordinance 2402, amending Title II, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050 of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. And we need a motion to bring it to the floor for public hearing.
So moved. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
Wait, go ahead.
I'll second it, Daly.
Daly seconds, if you could hear that.
Okay, thank you. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Speck, I'm going to defer to Beverly on this one, please.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Ordinance 2402 is amending Title II, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050 of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. The legislative power of the Aleutians East Borough is vested in the Borough Assembly under the Alaska State Statute 29.2. 20.050, the borough has adopted the Borough Municipal Code of Ordinances, which includes filling a seat vacancy for an assembly member. The borough desires to amend the code to establish a process for filling a vacant assembly seat. The Borough Code Section 1.04 provides that the code may be amended by the Act of the Assembly. The administration worked with the best law group to update the code and suggest adding the following subsections. A, if less than 45 days remain in a term, the vacant seat shall not be filled. B, if a seat is declared vacant and more than 45 days remain in the term, then the clerk shall publish reasonable public notice of the vacancy and for 14 days after the first publication thereof, receive applications from persons interested in being appointed to the vacant seat. The assembly may review the applications and or interview applicants in any reasonable manner. Not later than 45 days after the seat is declared vacant, the assembly shall appoint from among the applicants a qualified person to fill the vacant seat. Letter C, in appointing a person from the among the applicants, the assembly by vote of a majority of its remaining members shall designate a person to fill the vacant seat. D, notwithstanding subsections B of this section, if the membership of the assembly is reduced to fewer than 5 assembly members, then the remaining assembly members shall appoint as many qualified persons to the assembly as is necessary to once again constitute a quorum. The assembly shall utilize any procedure which is reasonable under the circumstances in making the appointments required by this subsection and shall make set appointments not later than 7 days after the quorum was reduced to less than five assembly members. And letter E, persons appointed to fill a vacancy shall serve until the next regular election, at which time a successor shall be elected to fulfill the remainder of the expired term of the office. Therefore, the administration recommends approval of Ordinance 2402, amending Title 2, Chapter 2.04, Section 2.04.050 of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Beverly?
Could you repeat that? <I'm just kidding.>
Okay, hearing none, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing at this time. Okay, hearing no public comments, public hearing is closed. Call a question on the motion.
One question.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. This ordinance, our attorney helped draft this ordinance, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of speaking out loud here, that's all. No question, but different groups in the past, people have struggled with this on how to replace, but I don't see any red flags personally, so I'll support it.
And then the clerk also, before she started on this, she did a computer or phone search with other clerks in the state to see how other municipalities handle this. And so it's kind of based on what other municipalities do. And then after that, I think she went to our attorney, and then they drafted up language. So it kind of falls in place with majority of the municipalities in the state. Okay. Other comments?
I have a question, Mrs. Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
So it's just whoever the assembly chooses to vote on. It's not going to be like whatever seat was vacant, you go to see who was running for the seat at that time and go for the, you know, see if that person wants it, or it's just anybody that the assembly chooses?
As far as I know, we don't have any assigned seats, you know, like when the borough first formed, that all got removed. So it's basically
at large,
all the seats are.
Okay.
Other comments or questions? Okay. Question?
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Go ahead. Oh, yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes. Thank you.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Ordinance 2403, amending Title 6, Chapter 6.08, Section 6.08.030 of the Aleutians East Borough Code of Ordinances. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the table and schedule for a public hearing.
Brenda will make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
This Daly, I'll second.
Thank you, Daly. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So before you is Ordinance 2403. This does recommend amending Title 6, Chapter 6.08, Section 6.08.030 of the Borough Code of Ordinances to amend the borough's authorized investments. This initially took place because we wrote the cash management plan, and while APCM was reviewing it, they noticed that these items needed to be updated. So they recommended, APCM recommends that we change Section A5 to add or the National Credit Union Administration. This addition makes the statement more complete. The authorized investments are allowed for CDs from credit unions, but the NCUA, which is the National Credit Union Administration, is actually the only one who insures those goodness sake, sorry, deposits, not the FDIC or the FSLIC is already included in the statement. So they're recommending putting that in. The other one is to section A7. It takes out prime commercial and just says commercial paper graded. And then it's P1 or higher by Moody's Investors Service Inc. or A1 or higher by Standard & Poor's Corporation. They recommend that the word prime be removed in order to clarify that buying commercial paper on the secondary market is allowed. Primary commercial paper market generally requires a minimum investment of $20 million per piece of commercial paper. We do not participate, or the borough does not participate in that market regularly and primarily trade in the secondary market. And then there's the definition of what prime commercial paper is, and it simply means investment grade commercial paper and includes commercial paper rated as low as the A3, P3. But please don't ask me what that means, but there's the definition there. And then it also includes the grades for the Moody's and S&P are flipped. They were put in there incorrectly to begin with, so we switched those. So P1 is for Moody's Investor Services and A1 is for Standard Poor's and Corporation. So that fixes that error that was in there. So administration does recommend approval of this ordinance. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? So, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a presentation from our financial advisors not too long ago. And that's where this ordinance originates from them?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Yes, this recommendation is from APCM, who came and presented to us.
And I don't have the letter in my packet. I couldn't find it anyway. I didn't look that hard, but... can we get a copy of that between now and the second reading if we pass this, move this along, just as whatever they wrote to us?
It was just an email, which I put in here. So, I mean, sure, if you want the email, but yeah, the email was just included their recommendations and the reason for why they're doing it.
Yeah, I know I'd like to see it. I assume the rest of the assembly would too. That's all. Thank you.
I think you have it.
Well, maybe I have it. I just couldn't find it. Electronically, it's hard to find things sometimes. Well, it is for me. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Okay. You want to call a question on the motion to schedule for the next regular meeting for ordinance 2403?
Daly?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2426 selecting and promoting FY 2025 capital projects for the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. Need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor?
Brenda, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, in the packet is the a resolution regarding selecting and promoting the FY 2025 capital projects for the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. Typically, I do put this in the January meeting. However, due to the timing of the strategic planning meetings, I pushed it back to February based off that conversation. So basically, we're trying to outline this is mostly state legislative priorities. The borough staff have reviewed the borough projects. We've had conversations with Mayor Osterbeck and Mark Hickey. We've also had our strategic planning meeting, and the borough staff does recommend that the Sandpoint School Rehabilitation Project be listed as the borough legislative priority for the FY 2025 capital project funding. Staff also recommends the King Cove Access Project and the False Pass Airport project be listed as borough legislative priorities for FY 2025 with no specific funding requests at this time. So in here is an explanation on each project. What we would do if this is approved would be to submit the 2025 CAPSIS request to the legislature, which is due, I believe, February 16th, requesting additional funds for the Sandpoint school project. As you know, we are short some funds to complete this. So after speaking to Mark Hickey and others, we thought that we'll try the supplemental funding request, which I don't think will be funded at the state level this year, but we'll also try this route to get the additional funding. And it also impresses upon the legislators that this is really important to us and that we really do need the funding. So that's the other first project. And then the other two, the King Cove Access Project and the False Pass Airport Project, are items that we'll continue to lobby for, but we're not requesting money at this time. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any question? Paul?
Yeah, thanks. Annie, in our workshop in Anchorage, we had a poster up there with 9 items, and we had green dots and red dots. And this resolution seems to conflict in some way with, that wasn't an official meeting and no action was taken. However, looking at the red dots and green dots in this picture I took of the items, they seem to conflict. So how do we resolve that apparent conflict with this?
Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, if I will, I'm assuming you're referencing the King Cove Access Project, which did get some red dots. However, we are currently working with DOI and others on MOUs that are currently in motion that we can't stop. So we do need to continue to ask for state support for this project. What I was referencing at those meetings is more financial, like where do we have to stop financially? What we're currently doing is not costing us much money, and we have funds available. So you're right, it conflicts a little bit. However, we are still in the process of writing MOUs and doing stuff with the federal government and need state support. So that's why it's on here.
Okay. Jim?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, the Sandpoint School project, will that be on hold then until full funding? Or will we start some of the upgrades?
So Mayor, I'll speak in assembly. We have already begun the project. We're currently almost finished with the 35% design. I'm waiting on the state to allow us to do an amendment to the budget so I can do the 65% design, and I should hopefully have that by next week, but the state's moving pretty slow. So we are already moving forward. I foresee that we could find money in our budget if absolutely necessary to fund the whole project, but I'm really hoping we don't have to do that because I have other uses for those funds. So we're going to complete the project regardless, but I would really like the state to assist with it.
Thank you. Other comments, questions? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so before us, we have a resolution 2427 urging the state of Alaska to provide additional matching funds for the Homer Harbor Expansion General Investigation Study in the amount of $288,532. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
I'll make that motion, but it's
what?
$3.
Oh, I misspoke? Okay. In the $280. Okay, before we break.
523.
The motion reads 288,523. Am I reading something wrong, Annie?
No, the first time you said 32, but I'll make that motion to accept it.
Oh, okay. So we have a motion by Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, and Assembly. So the City of Homer did request to Mayor Osterbeck to ask for support for this project. Currently, Homer has a regional port. It serves the needs of commercial vessels operating across South Central and Western Alaska. And they are in need to expand their current harbor for the safety and efficiency to serve the fleet. City of Homer has identified a new large vessel port expansion among its highest ranked priority capital improvement projects since 2004. As I said, to meet the growing needs of the fleet, address overcrowding, and support emerging regional and national economic opportunities. It is the borough's understanding after reading through the documents that the Homer Harbor Expansion's general investigation was successfully initiated in 2023. And during the investigation, it was determined that additional work needed to be conducted during the general investigation study phase with an additional cost of $1,154,093. The federal government will pay $577,000 of that, and the City of Homer has committed $288,000 of the local share and are requesting the additional funds of the $288,523 from the State of Alaska. Since fishermen from the Aleutians East Borough region do frequently use the Homer Harbor, the Aleutian East Borough believes the expansion would benefit be a benefit to them and urges the state to provide the money to complete the study. So this was brought to us, which we're presenting to you to make the decision if you are interested in supporting this or not. And Mayor Osterbeck, if you have anything else to add, please feel free to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. And I had talked with the Port of Homer recently when I was down there. And they do, I mean, they really do need to expand their harbor. And I kind of felt I'd bring this to you folks because a lot of our boats have been and continue to go down there for different types of services that they have, but they're getting so far overcrowded. This could affect our fleet to go there for work that they need. So I felt it'd be good on the borough's behalf to support their expansion project that would help our fleet too in the long run. So, and it doesn't impact any monies that we're looking for harbor projects. So I think it's a good win-win for us. Anyway, other comments? Paul?
Yeah, the project may be good, but it's probably, I think it's inappropriate to be on our agenda. So I'm gonna vote against it, just not because it's a bad project, just because we have, in the vernacular, we've got our own fish to fry and we got our own projects and we don't ask other communities to support our projects. Well, we can generally take care of ourselves, and I think Homer's can kind of take care of themselves. So I don't want to vote against it. However, I will. Thank you.
Other comments?
Brenda, I just want to comment that I'm in support of this as the ferry comes from there. A lot of our boats go there. They get their work done there. They're supported on the land by the people, stores, all of that. So I'm in support of this. This is just a supporting support and what their project is. And I think us as a borough that has people who utilize their facilities is what we should ethically and morally.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Tom, I support this project. Actually, I use that Homer Harbor quite a bit, and there's a lot of services there for fishermen that we don't have within the borough. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Other comments?
Hi, this is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
I think if it's not, you know, it's not going to affect us, you know, negatively, it should be supported. So I'm in agreement with it. Thanks.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Chosey?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I'm sure Homer will appreciate it, as we do send a lot of boats there and frequent their harbor and use their shops and facilities down there. So thank you. Okay. We're down to new business. North Pacific Management Council candidate discussion. Ernie, maybe?
Sure. You can hear me, I'm assuming. Yeah. So there's two Alaskan seats on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council whose terms are up and available for nomination, currently held by Andy Mezzaro, who has termed out in August, and John Jensen, who has served two terms and is eligible for reappointment. The Assembly previously adopted Resolution 2413 in November, supporting Mr. Jensen's reappointment, and that has been transmitted to the governor's office. This past January, we received further requests for letters of support for from three other nominees, Lena Hoblett, Brian Ritchie, who is the AP chair currently of the council, and Mike Humbuck, who used to be on the Board of Fish. Mayor Osterbeck took an executive action and submitted a letter of support for Ms. Hoblett. Her nomination has been sent to the governor. And we've included documents from all four candidates that have requested our support. The governor needs to submit his nominations to the Secretary of Commerce by March 15th, and he must nominate at least three individuals for each seat. And the governors are requested to identify each nominee as either commercial, recreational, or other sector. And the secretary usually announces appointments by the end of June for council terms that begin August 11th. Yeah, so you don't have to take any action, but you may want to support another nominee if you wish. I would note that Brian Ritchie kind of is a good fit for the seat that's held currently by Andy Mezzaro, because he's also a charter guy. And I would also note that our friends at Pacific Seafood Process Association supported John Jensen, Lena Hoblett, and Brian Ritchie. So I can answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
The Kenai River Sport Fishermen's Association usually weighs in. Of course, Bob Penny's not with us anymore. Have you seen any correspondence from them to the governor's office, Ernie?
No, I haven't seen anything about any other nominees. I've heard of at least one other potential nominee who did not ask for our support, but I haven't heard from anybody else. That nominee would be Marit Carlson Van Dort, and she didn't ask for our support.
Yeah, thank you, Ernie. I think that, as far as I know, when under this governor, when nominations are moved forward, the commissioner weighs in a lot. So I don't know if you or mayor or anybody has had scheduled a meeting with the commissioner to kind of have some insight on where they're headed.
I don't have any information.
Oh, okay. So at this time, do we want to endorse anyone else, or do we, what time, when did you say these had to be in?
Well, the governor has to have his nominations in by March 15th, but he's already making that decision, so we're kind of a little bit on the late side right now.
Okay. All righty. So we could go with what letter I submitted, I guess. Paul?
Yeah. Do we have any... Ernie, are you in Seattle at the council meeting? Was there a commissioner there or Charlotte there? Do we have anybody in Seattle at the council meeting?
Charlotte's planning to leave tonight. She'll be there tomorrow.
And I believe the commissioner is still in Juneau.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Okay. Other comments? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. The next one on the agenda is a Peter Pan update. Paul, you asked for this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. But as everybody knows, there was a fire in the gear storage locker, one of the gear storage warehouses. But I had a phone call. Apparently the Denali Commission can help in emergencies like this one is, with if fishermen are in jeopardy of losing their season because they don't have gear. But it would take probably a governmental agency like the borough or the city of Sandpoint or even Swampsea to kind of work with Denali, and maybe they could do it or maybe not as an information I got. And so it seems like the city of Sandpoint might be the proper, I'm just providing publicity here, that's all, to the, and I know there is some gear loss. And so if the city wants to, and I don't think we have to do anything, but that might be the best agency that fits, you know, it's a Sandpoint facility and a Sandpoint fisherman and own the gear. And I don't know how much gear there is or if they had insurance. If, for instance, if they didn't have insurance on the gear, Peter Pan for their facility insurance, and fishermen I know have to sign a yearly agreement with them stating what they have. So just if there's info you need, just I think, I, you know, the reason they called me is because they have my number, that's all. Not that I have any clue how to work with the fishermen in the community. That's all, just information. Thank you.
Yeah, we could probably... Annie, maybe could we have someone talk to somebody at the Denali Commission? And it, you know, it may be fine for... I don't even know. Maybe it's fine just for City Sandpoint to do it, or maybe a letter... City of Sandpoint, City of King Cove, since it's Peter Pan is kind of their mainstay over there, and then maybe the borough. But maybe if someone could check with the Denali Commission and see what is available, if anything. Could we do that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is Charlotte. May I make a comment?
Go for it.
Yeah, I just noticed, so I just looked this up. I don't know how accurate this is. I don't see that exact program that Paul is referencing, but I do see that there is like a you know, village infrastructure program that actually Liza Mack is the primary contact for, who I think we all have pretty good relationships with. So she might be worth contacting over there. She might have a good idea.
Actually, the person probably, if somebody wants to contact anybody, probably Erica Bryan, I think, is probably a good place to start, and then work your way around from there if somebody's going to do that. Thank you.
Okay. So, anyway, yeah, maybe City of Sandpoint could work on it, too, and keep us, I think between the offices out there in Anchorage, you guys should be able to figure out who's talking with who. That would help. Okay. So, reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, in the packet is my report. There's a brief update on the King Cove Access Project. The King Cove Group continues to work with the Department of Interior staff to make progress on the SEIS. The DOI staff and King Cove Group has attending biweekly calls to discuss where we're at on this. A few highlights is that Department of Interior has agreed to invite the two tribes, the City of King Cove and the Aleutians East Borough, to serve as cooperating agencies. I have submitted our MOU, which you approved via resolution a few meetings ago, to Fish and Wildlife to review. I don't anticipate any changes, but they'll get back to us and then we'll execute that. So then we'll become a cooperating agency for this project. And then the King Cove Corporation cannot be a cooperating agency since it is a for-profit corporation, but the Department of Interior has agreed that the King Cove Corporation can serve as an agent or designated representative for the two tribes. U.S. Fish and Wildlife does continue to state that the SEIS will be finished by the end of 2024, which is still, in my opinion, very quick. So I'm hoping that they can actually do that, and they still need to do a record of decision and a few other things to get to that point. The Akundok Breakwater, I'm going to move on to that. On January 16th, Army Corps of Engineers did hold their agency decision milestone meeting. It was a huge meeting. There were about 44 to 60 people in attendance, ranging from the top people at the State of Alaska Army Corps of Engineers to Honolulu and then folks in D.C., and the Corps did announce that the Actan Navigational Improvement Study did receive its endorsement during the meeting. So the Corps is moving forward with the rest of the plan. They do anticipate having the Anchorage District to submit the feasibility study report package on April 4th, 2024. And in the meantime, there's still quite a few items that have to be completed to do that. On January 30th, the Corps did request an additional $62,000 about to complete the feasibility study. I already went ahead and approved that based off of a resolution that was passed back, Resolution 2317, which did appropriate additional $255,000 for the project. We hadn't used any of those funds, and the Corps did come back. So basically, if it wasn't approved, they'd just have to stop cold right now, and then all the work they've done wouldn't be finished. So that has been approved, and half of that will be paid for out of the Actan Borough Bond Funds, which is in Fund 24, and the remaining half will be paid out of the FY 2009 State General Fund Matching Funds, which is a State of Alaska contribution. So they'll be paying us back for those funds, and they're in the process of issuing that reimbursement now. Any questions on either of those two projects? Okay, moving to the Sandpoint Pool, we did sign an agreement with Renesis in the amount of about $19,000 to conduct gutter and liner repairs. They are scheduled to come out on Tuesday to the region, and then Dow's also going to go out to monitor their work. So they are scheduled to come out on Tuesday. Hopefully the weather will cooperate and the pool manager will be on site. They were going to go out this week, but Leah wasn't going to be there, and she really needs to be there for this repair. And then we're still waiting from Living Waters to get a proposal to finish the plumbing repairs. We got the Sandpoint Deed Project, which I kind of already touched on. We are almost done with, or not me, but Dow and ECI is almost done with the 35% design. We've had quite a few discussions with internally, but also with the school district regarding the types of flooring, restroom alterations, code compliance needs, what kind of lockers they want, windows, if they need to be in the pool, and if so, how are they glazed so there's no glare on the water so the lifeguard can see. There's just tons of items that have been talked about. So they anticipate having that completed by the end of February 2024. And then the rest of the schedule for the remaining work is to have the 65% design done by 2024, the design completed by July, and then having everything construction completed by August of 2025. This is a pretty big project. There's some pretty massive things that are going to happen, especially in the pool area. They're going to take down walls, redo vapor barriers, redo the roof. There's some items on the back part of the school as well that's going to readdress some roof issues and leaking that's caused a lot of mold. So that'll be fixed as well. And then there's a lot of door repairs, HVAC items and stuff. So it's a pretty big project. The beauty of it, though, is a lot of the work is segregated to the pool. So hopefully they can work year round on some of that and get it done sooner than August. But that's kind of where we are now. And then lastly, I'm still waiting for the state to provide a budget amendment, which I asked for in the beginning of November. Still don't have it, but I'm being patient, and they said they'll draft it, and it's somewhere in their bureaucracy at the moment. Other than that, we've got a couple other things. On January 12th, Mayor Osterbeck, Talia, and I did meet with some personnel at Ted Stevens Center for the Arctic Security Studies. Main item was to just see what their interest was in borough communities for Arctic military needs. I'm not sure if we were talking to the right group of people, but it was a great start. And we're going to continue those conversations, particularly to see if there's interest in any of the military for the Cold Bay docks, since we're in the design phase. Now would be the time for them to comment on any needs that they will need in the future. So we've started those conversations. And then Talia and I did travel to Accutan on January 23rd, had a great trip, got to see the clinic, the school, the float, the hangar, met with Trident, the city, and everything like that. So it was a great trip. I'm glad we got to go. And then lastly, this is not in the report, but I'm going to verbally just give an update that Trident provided me. This is dated February 4th, and I'm just going to read it out loud. But it says, since Trident's December announcements of intentions to sell our Faust Pass, Kodiak, Petersburg, and Ketchikan facilities, we've received interest from potential buyers for each. A broker is working with potential buyers with non-disclosure agreements in place, and they are working through due diligence. This was written by Stephanie. She does not have anything to share at this stage, but it's initially just announced. Trident is moving as quickly as possible through this process to support continuity for affected communities, harvesters, and employees. Trident understands the particular interest to the borough, and budget planning is the status of the operations in False Pass. We do not envision any scenario where fish typically delivered to False Pass would leave the borough. To protect confidentiality agreements, we cannot further comment on potential outcomes. Given the speed we aim to move through this process, I expect to have a more substantive update for all stakeholders well in advance of the salmon season. And then regarding Accutan, Trident last announced that deteriorating market conditions and inflationary pressures are delaying their Captain's Bay project to start a three-year construction period no earlier than 2025. They do not have any further updates and will soon be focusing on how we can best inform related Accutan and borough planning needs and processes. So that was from Stephanie Moreland at Trident, and I wanted to share that with everybody. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions? Paul?
Yes, I'm on the wrong page on my computer, but you mentioned that from Stephanie Moreland. We have a copy with our packet. Can we get a copy of that?
Yeah, I can email you the what I just stated.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think she's had a conversation with her.
Pardon?
I think she had a conversation with her. Annie did. So we didn't, yeah. I didn't have a formal meeting.
Yeah, if there's something in writing, I just, like some reason, your frequency on the mic and between that and my hearing, I don't hear every word exactly as you're saying it. Mm-hmm. But it's my problem, probably. It's my hearing. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Annie. So, Talia.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'm going to start off with the Healthy and Equitable Communities Grant. There has been some new revelations since I drafted and submitted this report. I did get an email from Affordable Funeral Supply on February 5th, where they stated that the morgue for the village of Nelson Lagoon is not at the Port of Chinook. It's actually at the Trident Dock on Chignik Lagoon. I have been working along with Paul Mueller to work with them and hopefully help direct them with how to get that morgue delivered to the correct location. I've submitted maps. One of the confusions is that they're stating the roads are not passable, and hopefully the maps will show that there's no roads and that it's got to go through air or by sea. So we're still working on that. The good news is the borough still does have an additional $72,000 that can be used to complete the shipping delivery to Nelson Lagoon. And today, Annie and I and Paul did discuss briefly on using some of those funds for a morgue for the city of Cold Bay. So still working on that process. As far as the morgue and false pass, Paul was tentatively scheduling to have that one set up this week, February 4th. However, their pipes froze and flooded the office. So they have rectified that situation, but as of yet, he does not have a date when they're going to, again, try to start that process of installing it. But it should be a very easy install and smooth, easy process. Now that the flooding has been fixed. Next is the Accutan visit. Annie and I did travel to Accutan on January 22nd through the 25th, visited the school, the clinic, the float and hangar, as well as meeting with Trident. On January 24th, Annie and I met with Zachary Connor, who is the Trident electrician, to discuss the repair needed to restore the heat at the Accutan hangar. This week, Zach did go ahead and send a list of supplies and parts that he needs to restore the heat. And I'm working with Frontier Supply to get those parts ordered and sent out to him. So we'd like to get the hangar heated up sooner than later. maintenance connection. While in Accutan, I did meet with the principal for training on MC, on maintenance connection, and we were able to successfully enter 17 work orders ranging from broken windows, replacing shower heads in the restroom, and need for new hardware with the example of doors and windows. On January 31st, Dow did submit a request for proposals through the borough's construction term contract to solicit repairs and maintenance for the Accutan school. This proposal will address the exterior back stairway and landing, windows securing exterior crawl space hatch, and a general walkthrough of the school interior and exterior to identify any additional recommended repairs. ICE services. On February 1st, I did meet with ICE services for their AEB's quarterly meeting. As of date, the 2023 server upgrades in Anchorage, Sandpoint, and King Cove have successfully been completed, with ICE services now able to decommission the old server in Sandpoint with Laserfish now installed. I now have a list of items that ICE is recommending, and they'll also be sending quotes. Because we're a small borough, not all of these items really are pertinent to us, but this list goes from replacing the computers with expired warranties with Windows 11, updating the subscription for King Cove Firewall as the current subscription expires in 29 days. That is definitely a yes. They also recommended Sentinel One XDR EDR, which is, again, they're highly recommending this. This is an extended detection response smart antivirus system that shuts down any viruses without much interruption to our workflow. They also have Enable, which the borough does currently have in the Anchorage office, however, ICE Services is recommending both the Anchorage and King Cove office be backed up in the cloud. And they're saying that our Enable system that we currently have can be better. So Enable is a powerful monitoring platform that streamlines day-to-day operations. It's going to combat threats and improve efficiency. The last recommendation they have is a system called AVIC, and this is a network management system that sees network infrastructure in real time to efficiently map, configure, backup, and troubleshoot. Again, we're a small borough. I don't think that specific program will necessarily be good for us. We don't need it. But again, the administration will be reviewing the quotes and the budget to determine what items are most imperative. I did go ahead and list some of the regular meetings I've attended since our last assembly report. And yeah, I had a phenomenal trip. I got to ride on a helicopter. I want to thank Josie for being just super hospitable to us, and really enjoyed my visit in Accutane. So thank you guys. Thank everyone. And that's it. If anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Question? Paul?
Talia, you mentioned the internet suggestions that our provider gave to you, and you said the quotes are to follow. What's
yes.
the approximate amount of money that we're talking about?
I don't know. The quotes will tell me once I receive them. I haven't received them as of yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But when I do, I'll definitely let the assembly know.
Other questions for Talia? Okay, we'll tune in next month for the continuing saga of the wandering boar of Boris Karloff. Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report's also in the packet. I'll start off with North Pacific Fishery Management Council. It's been meeting all this week. I've been attending by Zoom, and we'll continue through Monday. I've listed some of the items that we're interested in. I submitted comment, which are linked on the B2 item, which was Chinook bycatch emergency petition submitted by AYK groups, and I was opposed to that. And I submitted comment on D4, the AFA program review, and just made some comments that they should consider communities that are affected by people moving processing out of our communities. So that's going on. The only final action for this meeting was for the Norton Sound Red King Crab. So no final actions of great importance for us. The IPHC met this month in Anchorage, the Halibut Commission, and I've noted the quotas, the TCEYs, and the reductions from last year. Area 3B dropped 6%, and Area 4A almost 7%. But those reductions are needed with the drop in the biomass. For the boards of fish and game, if you're interested in submitting proposals for crab like Dungey or Tanner, any state crab, those proposals are due April 10th. And if you're interested in submitting any game proposals for areas, game management units 9 or 10, which are in the borough, those are going to be due May 1st, although that call for proposals hasn't been put out yet. It should have been. And the Board of Fish meets in Anchorage later this month for a couple weeks on Upper Cook Inlet, and that's a good time to go see the board members. And then there's going to be a joint boards meeting to talk about advisory committees and the process to change regulations. And those comments are online, and you can make comments. I mean, those proposals are online. You can make comments by March 11th. There are a couple Board of Fish terms expiring. Ms. Carlson Van Dort and John Woods. I wouldn't expect them to be replaced, but maybe. On my second page, the Aleutian Islands Waterway Safety Committee, which I am a member of, will start back up. My one item of interest on that is going to be the North Pacific Right Whale critical habitat that NIMS is talking about expanding all throughout our borough. So I've made a couple links there for some information, and I've talked a little bit about the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force, which will be meeting in person down at Raspberry Road on Tuesday. And then I put some fish tax revenue showing that, and I didn't have the the revenue from December on here, but it's still just about up to through the second quarter is still only about 65 or 66% of where we normally are through 6 months. And I've listed many meetings. And any questions, I'm available. Thanks.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions? Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Ernie, on your bar graph, it shows that so far we're at the lowest level in 10 years. Am I reading that right?
You are reading that correctly.
And then if you had, you know, inflation's been around for a little while. So if you adjust it for inflation, it's quite a bit lower this year. Would that be a fair statement?
Right. This is not adjusted for inflation. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Thanks, Ernie. Charlotte.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So this is kind of a long one. I'm sorry. I'll just start with the EM projects. So you guys have probably all heard the Pollock fleet was standing down till the 15th. We had a little bit of a snafu where we had to pull the observers from the plant, and now we're going to have to put them back in. But it's fine. We're handling that. I'm in the process of finalizing the Western Gulf 4 NIFWIF grant that will close out pretty soon here. I'm just kind of doing the last minute cleanup. And I was contacted again by EM for Fish, and they've requested that I write another article. I'll probably end up doing two, one that's a smaller article talking about the switchgear sub project that we did for NIFWIF, and then afterwards, probably a large scale project across the PIs to talk about the trawl EM implementation. And just large scale issues and lessons learned from everyone who was involved. On that note, I would just say that the trawl EM proposed rule was published on Monday. So the comment period is open for that. That is a 6 year long project that is happening. So I'm very proud of that work. Moving on to salmon, I've just been kind of in touch with a lot of the salmon fishermen and just getting some feedback on the portal and the adaptive management program. And I'm starting to meet with CoreData to talk about integrating those into the portal and just kind of improving on what we did last year. We're currently tracking two legislative bills. One came up last year, that was SB 128 and HB 180. Nothing has happened since then. We're just keeping an eye out for them if anything gets scheduled. The second one is HB 294 and SB 209. Those were put forward by the governor and introduced January 26th. And one has been referred to fisheries, but the SB 209 was actually scheduled very quickly for yesterday at 1:30 p.m. For those of you who aren't familiar, that is a proposal to allow the Board of Fish to authorize use of electronic monitoring as an alternative or in addition to onboard observers in state fisheries. So as it's a permissive bill, just sort of allowing a program to happen. However, I have some concerns about that bill, and I submitted written comment regarding my concerns, and I testified yesterday at the Anchorage LIO office. At this time, the bill has been held, and I just looked at the schedule for next week, and I don't see it scheduled yet. So I think that's a good sign, and we'll kind of keep an eye out for this, as well as the other bill. Moving on to the cod tagging project. So we have cooperative research funds that we requested from NOAA, which were approved for $189,000. That covers the cost of the AFSC scientists and salary and travel when they come work on the project with us. It also includes a full sea day on the Bering Sea survey and a tag release in Savunga, which is kind of separate from our project, but it's all tied together. We're in full swing preparing for the upcoming winter charter. It's scheduled right now for the 14th through possibly the end of the month, but I'll probably arrive in Sandpoint maybe the 11th or the 12th. We are going to do it differently this year. We're operating it as two legs. The first half will be the Western Gulf through to Kodiak, and the second leg will be Kodiak to Prince William Sound. I will be only participating in the first half because I have annual leave scheduled starting March 24th. So I need to be back here before then. We also have a small pilot project in collaboration with the Freezer Longline Coalition, who have agreed to provide a longline vessel during A season in the Bering Sea as a platform to release tags. Our hope for this is that we find a good way to start releasing tags in Cod Alley and in some of those areas that we haven't gotten to yet in the Bering Sea, which I think is a big part of the picture of what's going on, the dynamic between the Western Gulf and the Bering Sea in that Unimak Pass area. So I'm holding a tagging training with Jim Armstrong when I come back from Seattle, and he'll go out in March to tag cod. For the council, we did hold a fishermen's meeting on January 8th to give fishermen an opportunity to share their concerns about the recent Trident news, Kodiak and False Pass, and also just discuss some ideas and potential protections for 610 and just some ideas to stabilize the pollock fishery short term and long term. It was a very successful meeting. I thought the fishermen were really engaged. They gave us a lot of good ideas, and they're sort of the driving force behind this. I know they've been having meetings with Kodiak and, with agencies to sort of figure out how to move forward in the Gulf fisheries, especially if there isn't a buyer in place in Kodiak for the B season. The last thing, I guess I'll go ahead and talk about this. Okay. So the last thing on my report is an update from Joe Sullivan on the AFA pollock single geographic location requirement. Mayor Osterbach, Ernie, and myself met with him, Joe Sullivan, to get this update on his initial investigations into the location requirements. He was unable to attend this February meeting, so I'm giving you a preliminary update, but we've decided with guidance from the mayor that he should attend in March to give a full update on the issue, and he can be present to answer questions and facilitate a discussion. So this is just purely an update. So I've listed the findings for you there. It's pretty straightforward. In June 1999, the council had a single geographic location provision that required onshore processors onshore processors could only receive Bering Sea Aleutian Island pollock in the same physical location where processing occurred during the 1996-97 qualifying years. Then in December 1999, there was a council motion to expedite the first rule as an emergency order so that it could be in place for year 2000. So that happened very quickly, within like a month's time. And then that next council motion included a revision to the language that would restrict shore-based floating processors to a single geographic location in any given fishing year. Instead of trying to tie it to the qualifying years to make it more comparable to the inshore offshore regulations. Then in January 2000, so just like a month later, they published that emergency rule with the single geographic location requirement language being revised yet again, extending the revised language from just shore-based floating processors to now shoreside land-based processors. So they made a jump from just shore-based floating processors to now land-based processors. So what that means is, as the regulation is currently written, shoreside processors are only restricted to a single geographic location in a given fishing year. So they are not tied to the original location where the processing occurred during qualifying years 96-97. So that's just the information. Joe Sullivan will be here next month to dig into that more, and we can have a greater discussion at that time. But I'm happy to take any questions. Sorry for the long report.
Okay. Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Paul?
Charlotte, yesterday that electronic observer bill had a hearing, I believe, but I might have missed it. Did you attend that one, or was it canceled, or did they actually have that meeting about Board of Fish electronic observers?
Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, yes. So that did happen. It was scheduled at 1:30 p.m. They had a hearing on it. I testified and I submitted written comment, which are not available yet. And I, because it was so last minute, I don't have them in my report, but I'm happy to send them to you if you'd like to see them. There was significant written comment, all opposed to the bill as written. However, only myself and three others testified, including Tracy Welch of UFA. In opposition.
Okay, and then the summary you had for some of the AFA actions that took place in the past, I know there's additional information that isn't in there, but it's complicated. However, with Joe Sullivan, when you're working with him, are you getting memos from him, or how do you forward that to the assembly? How does that work so the assembly keeps up to date on how that's going? It's an important thing. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Mayor. So as of right now, this is all of the information. And so the way that it's communicated to myself, Ernie, and Mayor Osterbach, this is all of the information that we've received, and we felt it was appropriate to wait until next month when he's here to have a more robust conversation, explain some of the options that we have and considerations we need to think about before making the next move or you know, deciding how we want to proceed. So everything that you see in my report here is the information he's given. The only thing I didn't include was the original documentation, which is via email. And I think we could potentially send that out for next month's meeting or include that. But this is all we've received so far.
Thank you. Okay. Other questions for Charlotte?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it's Tom Falls Pass.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, hey, Charlotte, I appreciate what you're doing for us at the department, you and Ernie. But I just wonder, what can we do as a borough to try to speed the process up to try to get some fish back in the Western Gulf? Especially, you know, processes closing down and whatever takes place on the South Peninsula, we're losing tax dollars. You know, just because of lack of processors, and fishermen are, you know, in dire straits for some more fish.
Yes. Thank you for that question, Tom. You know, I feel you. I know what you mean. It is, it's rough times all around from every direction. If you're asking specifically about the cod in Western Gulf, I think we're getting very close. I know that's not reassuring, but you know, we're having conversations now with stock assessment authors about like actual ideas for how to change the management plan. And I know it's really slow moving, but I think that's promising because we're now actually looking at, well, how can we restructure COD, and maybe even float some ideas like, well, maybe we should be looking at the cod stock separately. Like Unimac Pass is its own population, you know, separate from Central Gulf, separate from Northern Bering Sea. And maybe look at how that quota should be redistributed between Cod Alley and the Western Gulf. I mean, those are very real ideas that are being talked about, but unfortunately it's kind of out of our hands at this point where we give them the data and we do everything that we need to move stock assessment along, but you know, it's a really slow process. But I am always open to ideas, not just about cod, but I know Ernie and I are happy to help if there's anything else the fishermen want to look at or think is worth, you know, trying to tackle. Ernie, do you have any words of wisdom? I'm sorry, that's not helpful, Tom.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything better than that. Charlotte has been doing a lot, especially with the cod tagging and changes. You know, I know you're concerned about that Dutch Harbor Subdistrict fishery, which is about 44 million cod this year, and the South Penn is only 5 million. So I know it's a problem, but
And then, you know, so I just want to say on Cod Alley, I hope you look at that Scotch cap for some tags. That's to me, that looks like Cod Alley coming into the Western Gulf.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of what we're trying to figure out how to do right now and how to get in there. It's kind of a rowdy area. And we're trying to figure out, like, how do we actually get in there to release tags? How do we sort of structure that? But if it makes you feel any better, stock assessment authors recognize that those fish are passing through Cod Alley to come down through the pass to the Western Gulf. And I don't love to throw the word interception around, but that is kind of, I think, how people see it. And that could mean something later down the road. I don't want to speculate, but we're having some pretty real conversations about that. It's just kind of a slow process, especially on the federal level.
Yeah, okay, I see that. Thanks, Charlotte. But, you know, I see in your report that they did something special in 1 month at the federal level there. So that's why it's so frustrating to me. I've been beating on this drum for the last 4 years and I don't have an answer. Thank you.
Okay, other questions for Charlotte? Okay, and Charlotte, I listened to your testimony yesterday, so thank you for that. Okay, Jackie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Can you hear me all right? I hope so, because I can't hear you now.
No, we could hear you just fine.
Okay, good. So my report's in the packet. The audit was the first on my report, and I'm so happy that it was issued yesterday. So that's good to give myself a couple of days to breathe before I start working on next year's audit. I'm going to probably start a little bit sooner just because there's always ways to improve and to get things done more efficient is my ultimate goal. Cassell, I've been doing a lot of work in the Cassell conversion. The biggest chunk of work so far was been the chart of accounts. Just to give you kind of a list of how much there was to go through, I included in my report that currently we have a collection of line items, and that contains at least 107 departments, 110 sub-departments, and like over 300 different account objects. I've been able to kind of narrow that down so that we use like a set of accounts versus just creating a whole bunch of different random numbers put together, which made it get so extensive, so that we could have 15 departments to 50 different accounts and using subcodes so that it's easier to pull out the information that you want to pull out versus, you know, adding different line items together and searching for them. So that way with the new set chart, I could build the accounts that we need and pull out all the information based on different accounts or different departments or different funding sources or different types of projects. So it's going to be just awesome when it's done, but it's just definitely been a lot of work. And now I'm at the point where we're just verifying that the accounts that have been created, the accounts that we are no longer using don't have balances, because we have to pull everything over and make sure that it lines up with what we currently have. So that's the step I'm in, is just verifying that all of the balances and everything is included and will fit into our new set of accounts. It's been fun because I'm excited for the end times, but it has definitely been a lot of like wading through the water with how much excessive departments and stuff we've had in there that haven't been used in numerous years. So we just ended the calendar year. Well, actually, it's already February, so that's kind of crazy. But like all the deadlines for the end of the calendar year reports are in January. And this year, everything had to be submitted electronically, which is kind of nice because it's just less paper. But going to submit like tax information and stuff like that to the IRS, you have to go through a lot of verification processes to just even be able to apply to submit electronically. And so that was pretty time consuming, but next year should be pretty simple now that we've gone through all the process to get our pins and our transmitter controls and ID verifications. And the routine tasks have been going pretty good. The quarter end reconciled really good for January, and now we're just plugging right along to close out January's financials. I don't have anything else major other than what was included in my report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. Questions? Hearing none. Great work. I know the administrator really appreciates your diligence and how far you've gotten along on this thing, and so do we. So thank you with that. Okay, before we go to assembly comments, I have a question for Paul. As a Swampsea board member, at the Swampsea meeting, are you guys planning on having anything on fisheries with what's currently going on?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As I think I might have mentioned a month or two ago, there's one forum with, we were trying to get all the processor heads from the companies, and I haven't seen an update on the agenda the last 2 weeks, but they were, you know, the people who might be running Trident, Peter Pan, OBI, to give us a firsthand report on what the future holds. That was going to be an important thing, and the draft agenda should be out pretty soon, and I don't have a copy of it, and I don't think it should be out real soon. And I'll try to forward it to the clerk, and so everybody knows. But there are a couple other fishery, you know, Fishery Friday, I think we're delegating or designating that day to have, that's a business meeting day too. But yes, there are fishery items.
So the other part of the question is, so I would be looking forward to, and I think you guys are going to do it then, is since it's going to be all of Southwest Alaska and we're all in the same boat, is that we would have like breakouts, roundtable discussions or something on trying to figure out what each area is going to do?
Yeah, I believe the opportunity along that line. Of course, I'm not an officer this year, so I'm not directly in charge of the agenda. We've designated three people, a president and two staff members, to put the agenda together, and I have not seen the final version.
Okay. Well, I think if it goes as it normally does, hopefully there will be some discussions. So I want to put out a little thing for all of the mayors in the borough. Hopefully all the mayors in the Aleutians East borough attend Swampsea as the mayors of their communities and participate in this, because some of this might come down to voting cards, whatever comes out of it. But I think this is going to be an important first step on what we're facing. And I know there's interest from some conversations I've had. I think even out of the governor's office, they're looking at the upcoming Swampsea meeting to see what's going to come out of that. And I know UFA has been having their meetings, and hopefully they're also our counter partner, I guess, Southeast Conference, kind of the same as the Swampsea deal. And I believe they're starting to look at putting something together also. So I think it's going to be important for all of the heads of all of the cities and the borough to all be at this meeting and make sure that we're heard and we vote as all of our communities to have good input on this. So with that, assembly comments we are down to. So I'll open it up for assembly members.
Paul? All the changes to our our ordinances. That's a lot of work, and I've done things like that, so that was very, very good. we've been talking about having those issues fixed for a long time. So thank you to everybody, and thank you, Charlotte, for your hard work. I'd heard that you were testifying, and thank you very much for doing that. And thank you, everybody, for persevering. Jimmy, I'm really sorry about the fire in your community. That's a hard thing to go through, and Alvin in your borough to have things happen. So we just have to persevere and keep going forward. But thank you, everyone, for your hard work. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Other comments? Paul?
Yeah. Thanks. Two quick things. Ernie, I know you've been following the North Pacific Council and the AP, but maybe it's tomorrow they take up the AFA program review, and you've got the letter you submitted. But as there's opportunity, I think some people may or may not want to testify or at least listen to the public comments too. So if you could update everybody on when that is, you know, that changes from time to time, that would be great. And then the second thing, I'd like to talk briefly about the swimming pool again. Back in the 80s, when the Sandpoint City controlled the school district, there was an architectural firm, Lane, Plunkett, and Knorr, I believe. Anyway, they also did Lake Clark Junior High, and the roof didn't fit, if I remember. But I don't know where those plans are, but they may have. I don't know if anybody's found them lately. You know, that's quite a while ago, to see where the plumbing is on the pool, because I had another meeting with Archimedes this week. I meet with them every week. That's tongue in cheek, in case you're wondering. But when the pool was allowed to drain naturally, it only went halfway down. So there's about 100% chance that the leak in the plumbing is above halfway. So it's not going to take very much to find it. And that's, while everything else is going on, that's got to be, it has to be a priority, because once you can find the leak, everything else will fall into place, whatever needs to be done or could be done. But no matter what option we're pursuing, it all comes down to finding the leak in the pool, and it wouldn't be hard. And anyway, that's if we do have some information about Lane Knorr and Plunkett's drawings, that would be great. It would help us search for that. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Other comments from the assembly? Okay. So, public comments. Do we have any? Okay. Hearing none. Our next meeting date is March 14th. It'll be our regular meeting. And we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
Second.
Thank you, Brenda. Okay, everybody, have a good rest of your day.